You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com and everywhere else you go to get your fine Bills-related podcasts. You all know the drill by now. My name is John Boccacino, being joined by Jamie D'Amico, my esteemed ginger colleague here on the podcast. Jamie, not to bring your hair color into it, but why not?
Well, I mean, there's so many implications to my hair color, like the lack of soul, like the fiery personality. The cross I bear.
I think you have a soul, although there's some weeks I'm not sure because you can just spit hot fire off of the podcast, Mike.
Oh, hot fire, buddy. I'm pointing my dragon breath at you, buddy.
Can you tell that, for those listeners who check our podcast out week in and week out, A, we appreciate you. Thank you for supporting Believe. But last week, I kind of had a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth at the end because we were very, you know, taking a glass half empty approach to the Bills and, you know, what they needed to work on coming out of the bye week. This week feels like the polar opposite, and I'm almost wondering if it's too good to be true of a maybe a trap game for the Bills, because Buffalo is welcoming those Miami Dolphins to Highmark Stadium on Sunday, a Week 8 clash. Buffalo has won the last six matchups with the Fish, including a 35-0 trouncing in South Beach in Week 2 this year. So, Jamie, let's start with that. Is this a trap game for the Bills?
Nope. Not even slightly. Josh Allen owns the Miami Dolphins, and the Miami Dolphins are playing terrible football after opening the season with a win. They're just not good, and they're messing with the mind of their quarterback by trying to trade for a very distressed asset in Deshaun Watson.
It's insane to think Tua Tagovailoa, it's not his fault that the Dolphins have lost six games in a row, including a back-breaking, heart-wrenching setback to the Atlanta Falcons on a last-second field goal in Week 7 to put them at 1-6 after stealing a game against. I mean, there's in all likelihood, Jamie, there's a universe where the Dolphins are 0-7. It's not that hard to imagine.
No, that wouldn't be difficult to imagine, because this team just has, they seem like they have a hard time putting one foot in front of the other. I expected more out of them this year, but it's just not coming together. And Brian Flores could be out of a job if he's not careful.
And it's interesting the repercussions you bring up with their pursuit. They're very the worst kept secret in all of football, that the fact that Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, wants to acquire embattled quarterback Deshaun Watson, who is facing 22 or 23 charges. And the Dolphins, actually, I think that Tua is maligned a little bit unfairly. You look at where Josh Allen was through his first 13 starts compared to Tua. Tua has more passing yards and has more touchdown passes through his first 13 starts, and his teams have the same record as Josh Allen's did during his first 13. And yet it almost feels like no matter what Tua does, the Dolphins are moving on already.
People have been just waiting for Tua to fail since the very beginning, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. Josh Allen, okay, he had his detractors. We know that. Like, there are media frenzies out there over Josh Allen's impending doom as an NFL quarterback. Tua came in with some fanfare. Tua was a national championship winner in college. And then he gets to the pros and people are like, ah, get this guy out of here. So I guess my question is, are expectations that much higher in South Florida, or does he just not pass the eye test with that noodle arm of his?
I think a lot of pressure and blame has to fall on that Dolphins defense, which showed signs of being a pretty good unit in 2020, but have completely taken a step back when it comes to their metrics and when it comes to the stats on the year. I mean, the Dolphins have some areas where they're successful on defense, but overall, they're just not as successful as you would imagine this team being. You know, on defense, they're basically giving up almost 89 yards per game, more than Buffalo's defensive unit. They have a pretty atrocious third down conversion percentage rate against them. Their sack rate is decent. They've got some playmakers, but really, the Dolphins have just let down Tua, I feel like, by the defense just completely collapsing. And, you know, it's not, again, it's, I stand by this. It's not Tua's fault, but Tua could go out there and pass for, you know, I look at his stats over the two games since coming back from that broken rib hit that Epinesa laid on him in week two. Tua's completing 75% of his passes, 600 yards, six touchdowns. Now, he does have three interceptions. I'm not sure how many of them are his fault versus, you know, deflected off a receiver's hands, but those are pretty solid numbers for a quarterback, especially the completion percentage. There are signal callers in this league that can win by doing the dink and dunk. It's just not happening for Miami.
No, it's really not. And part of that is you need to have balance. You need to be able to run the ball effectively. And Myles Gaskin is not a bad running back, but everything has to be working together. And really, the only thing that seems to be saving them this year is their tight end, Mike Gesicki, who he's having a great season, as he always does. And in the past, he has lit the Bills up. He did not do that in the first game of the season when I believe he had three catches for 40 yards. But outside of that, I would think that Devontae Parker, the rookie top 10 receiver, what is his name?
Jalen Waddle.
You would think that these guys could put up better numbers than they have been. So then it becomes a chicken or the egg thing. Is the quarterback play hurting the receivers, or the receivers hurting the quarterback play? You would think, based on the contracts that they've given out, that it's the quarterback's fault, but who knows?
Yeah. No, it's definitely, it's interesting. The Dolphins are in a free fall, six games in a row they have lost, and I don't really see any reason. The reason, Jamie, I asked you about the trap game, and I don't think Sean McDermott's teams ever fall prey to this, but you know, it just feels like I haven't read a single story. I haven't heard a single solid opinion that would say that the Dolphins have a chance to win on Sunday. And just thinking back to this time last week, you know, there were some results where you're like, wait, the Bengals are going to beat the Ravens in Baltimore? Yeah, right. Wait, the Chiefs are going to score 3 points against the Titans and Mahomes is going to throw three more picks? Huh? Yeah, right. Every week, something fluky happens. And I guess I was just curious. Yes, anything could happen on Sunday, but it just seems like these teams are so woefully mismatched, with Buffalo having the strength in every possible way compared to the Dolphins.
Yeah, and then you look over at the defense, and on the season, the Bills' defense has played really well. They pitched a shutout against Miami the first week of the season. Now, granted, you know, you didn't have Jacoby Brissett with a full week of practice, but the Dolphins played better with Brissett on the field than they did with Tua. So, you know, where are the Dolphins going to go? How are they going to even bother attacking the Bills' defense? All I can think is that they're going to try to work out some mismatches, trying to get Gesicki and Gaskin on linebackers, who they probably assume can outrun the Bills' backers, but if Milano's healthy and with the wheels that Edmonds has on him, that's not going to work either. How do you, if you're the Dolphins, how do you do it? Like, I don't want to make this game sound like a foregone conclusion, because we know that anybody can beat anybody in the NFL, as they say, on any given day. But I just can't see any way in which the Dolphins even make this competitive.
Yeah, I think that I don't have any faith in their defense being able to force Josh Allen into turnovers. I think the Bills will be able to do whatever they want to on both sides of the ball. And yes, Mike Gesicki is an outstanding tight end. He's somebody that you really have to game plan for. But earlier in this year, when the Bills had the 35-0 win, Gesicki was handled. He had a very pedestrian game of 3 catches for 41 yards. And, you know, he does lead the team, I believe, in 37 receptions, 430 yards. He's by far their most efficient pass catcher. And Tua really turns to him as a safety blanket over the middle of the field. One of the few areas the Dolphins really excel in when it comes to their passing game is the short pass. It's weird. They're really good when it comes to the short passes to the right, and they're really bad when it comes to deep passes to the right, according to some research done by Scarecrow, Jeff Kantrowski here on Buffalo Rumblings. He put together...
That was a great article, by the way.
Wasn't it? Like,
very, very stat heavy.
He is unbelievable in the average of research he puts in breaking things down. And it's a really cool comparison to kind of go back and forth. Miami, where they excel is running off the left tackle, but they're really bad running behind the right guard. So Deion Dawkins should be aware of the Dolphins' attempts to run the ball. Not Deion Dawkins, Greg Rousseau or Jerry Hughes, whoever's on the left side, should be aware that the Dolphins like to run the ball towards the left side versus whoever is playing next to Star Latulale on the right of the line should be prepared to have some good run-stuffing plays, because the Dolphins don't like to run the ball that side, and when they do, they don't have much success.
And interestingly, from the same article, Buffalo is one of the best in the league at running behind their right guard. Miami is, on defense, the absolute worst in the league at stopping the run behind the opposition's right guard. It looks like the Bills are averaging something like 7 yards a play, and Miami is giving up even more than that. Oh, it's over 7 yards a play, but even more by a fraction of a yard. It's like, okay, so can we expect to see Zach Moss and Devin Singletary running behind Darrell Williams, assuming that he's playing the right guard position? Because let's make a note of the fact that Spencer Brown hasn't been practicing, may have to sit out the game. And if they do that, there may be some line shuffling. We might see Cody Ford back in the lineup. Did you want to see that at some point this year?
No. Once Spencer Brown unseated Ford, I was more than happy keeping the hierarchy the way it was. Of course, like you mentioned, Jamie, Spencer Brown is definitely a question mark for the game on Sunday. He's missed his second straight practice on Thursday with a nagging back injury. So we'll see what happens with the final practices leading up to the games on Sunday. It is fascinating, though, looking at this slider on Scarecrow's article, that the Bills average 7.07 yards per attempt when running behind the right guard. So whoever it is, whether it's Cody Ford or Ike Butker, who's back in the lineup if Spencer Brown is forced to miss any time, yeah, the Bills, I'll be curious if they still continue to run it up that right side, because historically speaking, that has really been where they've buttered their bread when it comes to the running game, which is interesting because when they break it outside to the right tackle, they are third worst in the league, averaging a paltry 2 yards a carry when they try to go to the right tackle side behind Darrell Williams.
I think that the Bills are going to try to make a living running the ball this week, because you got to think to yourself that they want to shorten the game and they want to decrease the likelihood of injuries happening. And that's the best way to do it. They showed over the past couple of weeks that their running game is getting much better on offense. And that's something that the Bills really need to figure out over the course of the season, because that's how you control a game. It was the Chargers' new head coach whose name is escaping me right now.
Brandon Staley.
Brandon Staley from my alma mater, the University of Dayton.
Go Flyers.
Yes, Go Flyers is right. He was talking about the importance of being able to run the ball. And one of the things that he said is you require the defense to make a tackle on every single play. On a passing down, yes, there will be contact between the guys up front on the offensive line and the defensive line. They're going to clash. But you may not have any physical contact between any other players on the field. But when you run the ball, you are forcing the defense to not only take on blockers, which is strenuous physically, you are making them take down a ball carrier. And that's not an easy thing to do. And that's the importance of establishing the run. And I feel really good about the fact that the Bills have been doing that.
Yeah, they have. And it's interesting. It's really been Devin Singletary who's been the closing back, if you will, especially in the third and fourth quarters. I mean, look at the Chiefs game. It was Singletary who was out there closing out the Chiefs with the ground game. You know, Zach Moss is more of the red zone threat, but it seems like Singletary is the guy that they bank on. And that's where, like, there was a great article that Dan Lavoie put on Buffalo Rumblings about how he's not the typical running back one, but Devin Singletary is your lead running back for the Buffalo Bills in that he starts the game and he closes the game. It's a very interesting dynamic how McDermott is spreading out the carries in the backfield.
Yes. And I would think that with the trust that they have in Zach Moss to run in the red zone, I'm expecting him to get more carries late in the game. However, the thing that sort of adds to that is that Devin Singletary has had issues fumbling the ball. I think he's got four on the season, which is not good. And he had issues with that when he was, I was about to call him a freshman, but when he was a rookie also. So with the fact that Zach Moss doesn't fumble the ball, when you're trying to put a game away, I would imagine we're going to start seeing more of him as the year goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely shows that Buffalo doesn't have any sort of, you know, problems rotating their backs out there and kind of riding the hot hand. And of course, in that situation, the Bills have a lead. They're trying to salt down the clock and get this to victory. And there definitely has to be a bit of an injury concern just based on the fact that when there's such a talent gap between the two sides too, with Buffalo and with Miami, a lot of times you can have players who aren't equipped to be going up against the pros that Buffalo has on the Dolphins side of it. And maybe you see some, you know, shortcuts taken or some not quite solid tackling attempts, or dare I say, even some cheap shots, knowing that this team just handed you your lunch, you know, 6 weeks ago in South Beach. I think that's one of the worries I have is this game, if it gets out of hand. Miami has shown a penchant in the past to be kind of a dirty team, and they've taken some cheap shots, most likely led against Aaron Williams when I'm blanking on the guy's name, the wide receiver.
Devontae Parker.
Devontae Parker, who is still in Miami, is he not?
He sure is.
That guy's a dirty player.
Yeah. Yeah. That crack back on Aaron Williams that ultimately ended his career. Hope he feels good about that.
What a bullshit play.
I hope he feels like he accomplished something.
Yeah, he's accomplished something. All right. Never making the playoffs in his career at the Dolphins. How about them apples? but just to bring it back a little bit here, Jamie, you can tell, our audience can tell, that we have a much more laid back approach towards the game this week, because all signs do point to Buffalo dominating on both sides of the football. And, you know, Tua's coming back. He didn't show any ill effects of the rib injury in the game against the Falcons, but you know that this is a game where the Bills edge rushers are chomping at the bit. They can't wait to get out there and try to get pressure, because they had a really good performance in week two in South Beach. What is your take on how Buffalo's edge rushers and the defensive line match up against the Miami Dolphins offensive line?
Well, we saw it in the first game against these against the Dolphins. AJ Epenesa looked like he was playing with his hair on fire. He looked absolutely unblockable and unstoppable. Greg Rousseau sort of had his very first coming out party. This looks like the type of game where the Buffalo pass rush that has gotten anemic is going to see itself snapped awake for the first time since the early part of the season, because I don't think the Dolphins can block him. And I think you're going to see some more playing time from Boogie Basham too. And he's going to start getting his feet under him as he's been doing gradually over the course of the season. You may end up seeing another Buffalo Bill as a player of the week. And I'm looking at Epenesa, even though he was a healthy scratch this past week, the game that he had against the Dolphins the first time, he could come away with a 3-sack game. And I wouldn't be surprised. And then I also wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have a total of 3 sacks the rest of the season. I think Miami is going to struggle that badly to block the Bills. And you saw the Bills sending a lot of blitzes at Tua and Brissett in the first game. You're going to see more of that. And the more people that are rushing the quarterback, the more chaos is created, the more likely that somebody's going to sneak through the line. I'm looking at you, AJ.
This should be a really good. This is like one. And to go back to my question to you about a letdown or a trap game, the other reason that I think there's no way in hell that happens besides the talent gap is these Bills have been stewing. They've been simmering. They've been waiting to get out there after that loss to the Titans. And boy, they got to be salivating their first opponent up out of the bye, the Dolphins, a chance to finish off the season sweep. And against a team that is both prone to turning the ball over and with a defense that has been very opportunistic. Since that week 2 game, the Bills are plus 11 in turnover differential. The Dolphins are at minus 3, so there's opportunities for the Bills to take the ball away from Tua, whether through forcing interceptions or coming up with the big fumble. There's so many playmakers on defense. This could be the week that we see Trey White come up with a pick, that we could see Levi get another pick out there. One of the linebackers, Matt Milano, could pick off a pass intended for Gesicki. I'm feeling it yet again, Jamie. I called it in week 2 where I said the Bills would have at least 3 turnovers and 4 sacks of Tua. Mark it down again on Sunday.
You're right the first time, man. And I think the turnover margin is, I think that's exactly why the point spread ended up where it did. If you're not familiar, the Bills are favored by 14 points in this game. College spread, you know, it's, you're not supposed to have double digit point spreads in the pros. And yeah, it's, it happens on the regular, because it's really become a league of haves and have nots right now. Well, the Dolphins have not, at least at this point in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins start playing better as the season goes on, but it's not going to happen against the Bills. They are going to be so focused after losing that heartbreaker in Tennessee. I wouldn't be surprised to see them get on the same type of run that they did last season after they lost to the Cardinals in that heartbreaker. Except, unlike last year, this year you can look at the Bills' schedule and say, whew, this is a cakewalk.
The Bills definitely have, I believe, the easiest schedule in the rest of the NFL over the final 10 weeks of their schedule. The Bills have a very soft strength of schedule.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
I want to go back, Jamie, to the turnover point we were talking about earlier. I was reading this article about how much the Bills have cultivated this atmosphere of forcing turnovers. Since 2017, the Bills have amassed the most takeaways in the entire league. They have one more. They have 117 total takeaways since 2017. One more than the Rams and two more than the Patriots. The Bills are a very opportunistic defense. However, after their bye week, Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator and the assistant head coach, gathered all of his players in the locker room, and he showed them where the Bills rank, tied for the top in turnovers this year. But he had a message for the players. It's not enough. This unit practices day in and day out, punching the ball away, forcing those turnovers. Jordan Poyer's commenting on one of these articles how it's a habit. They developed this in the meeting room. Guys build the mental habits, and that really carries over to the game of punching at the ball, stripping at the ball. And when they get to the playing field, those tendencies, they rely on them to lead to their opportunistic defense. So that's, again, another reason why I'm very confident that Buffalo is going to force quite a bit of turnovers. And when you factor in that, you know, Jaylen Waddle is a good receiver, but he's prone to cough up the ball. Same thing with Devontae Parker. Same thing with Mike Gesicki. These guys are not immune to turnovers. And when you look at their quarterback, Tua, who is, again, a turnover machine, I mean, the Bills have a recipe for just a really solid win on Sunday.
I agree with everything you just said, except I would pump the brakes a little bit, because past turnovers are not, for defense, past turnovers are not necessarily a great predictor of future turnovers. Turnovers tend to come in bunches, and most of the talking heads out there will say that you can't rely on turnovers necessarily continuing, because it's, you know, the ball bounces in weird ways. It's a football. It's not round. You don't know where it's going to go. So sometimes it bounces your way. Other times it doesn't. Now, you create your own luck. The more talented teams tend to get more lucky bounces because they're just, everything about what they're doing is better. I love that the Bills have been a turnover getting machine since Leslie Frazier has been there. But I agree with the sentiment that it's not enough, because if at any moment they slow down on the number of turnovers they're getting, they're making their lives more difficult. They're making the offense, they're going to be giving up more points, and they're going to make the offense have to travel more yardage in order to get to the end zone. Keep getting those turnovers, though. And if it continues, you're going to see the success continue.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I didn't want to associate automatically that the turnovers will continue and be a predictive stat. But it's interesting to watch just the mentality that this team takes in practice and in the locker room, and how contagious that attitude of wanting to be the next guy to come up with the big stop and the big interception. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, given Tua's tendency to force the ball into small windows and make more turnovers. Micah Hyde, who has been on fire this year with 3 interceptions, 5 pass breakups, and a pick 6 over his last 3 games, comes away with another one, because Tua might get under pressure from a Gregory Rousseau. He might feel the heat from an Epinesa. He might feel Star Latulalay up the middle, and then he throws up a jump ball, and there's the Bills D to come away with it. It's, again, it just all sets up very nicely for the Bills to have a pretty powerful advantage on Sunday. Now, this is going to be, Jamie, the first game that we're going to see the Bills offense operate without Dawson Knox. And obviously we know he's out for a couple weeks with that broken bone in his hand. Do you think the Bills are going to change up their personnel to match more of, say, a 1 running back 4 wide set, what's known as a 10 personnel, or are they going to run out there more of a, have Tommy Sweeney get the full confidence that he can step up and take the role that Knox was filling?
That's a great question. And when you have a major talent gap like the one that appears to be coming up on Sunday, usually what teams do, and they've done this to the Bills many times through the years, is teams like to work on things. They may be trying to get Tommy Sweeney some confidence, because broken bones take 6 weeks to heal. Now, they're not going to say that Knox is going to be out for 6 weeks, but I wouldn't be shocked. I have a broken toe. Did I tell you that?
No, you did not.
Oh, okay. Well, let me go on a tangent for a second. Remember that play against the Titans when Josh Allen got stopped on fourth down with seconds left in the game?
Yeah, when he slipped and Deion Dawkins got pushed off his man and there was nowhere to go on the left side. I remember that.
I jumped off my couch. I jumped up when that happened and I went, no. And when I jumped up off my couch, I stubbed my toe on my coffee table and my toe broke.
Oh, man. Look at you. You're playing hurt here on the podcast.
Yeah, I sure am.
Well, we appreciate your dedication to the craft.
I almost skipped the podcast, the last two podcasts, but before the last one, I was saying to my corner man, I'm like, cut me, Mick, cut me. Anyway.
You can't win. That's my really poor Mick impression.
So, what was I even talking about? Oh, yeah, the broken hand. I've been told that it's probably going to take 6 weeks to be fully healed. Contact sport where you need to use your hands as a tight end does, and they may want to keep him out. So this is probably the week they're going to get Tommy Sweeney a lot of reps. On very obvious passing downs, especially with long yardage, yeah, sure, we're going to see more four wide, but not as much as we did against Pittsburgh.
So we've really, Jamie, gone through and we've stated the case, and we haven't even touched on yet the fact that Josh Allen, the Dolphins are his biatch. I mean, he has made Miami his daddy since coming into the league. He's won six out of his seven matchups with them. He's won the last six against the Dolphins and putting up some terrific numbers during that time. And we saw much of the same. I know Josh misfired on a couple of throws the first time that these two teams met up there. But there's nothing that makes me think that Miami's corners, and the Dolphins do have a couple of decent corners back there led by Xavien Howard and Javon Holland, who's a pretty solid safety, providing coverage over the top. But Allen has really, really dominated this unit. And there are some weaknesses to be had in the Dolphins secondary. So I feel very confident that this could be the week that we see a Stephon Diggs 2-touchdown effort, or you see somebody like, Cole Beasley can really, with what he did against the Titans, building upon that, he could have a field day over the middle of the field here.
Absolutely. Now, Xavien Howard did have an interception last game. He's a great corner, but Josh doesn't shy away from throwing at Xavien Howard, who undoubtedly is going to be locked up with Stephon Diggs for most of the game, to their detriment, because, I mean, there's not much of a drop-off between Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders, it seems. So, yeah, I think that the Bills are going to attack them. They're going to go at them early. They're going to try to run up the score. They're going to try to make the Dolphins one-dimensional, and then the Bills are going to try to kill clock. I mean, it's a really simple formula, and I see I see the Bills winning by more than the point spread.
Do you think, Jamie, and we did a really, we, meaning myself, wrote an article based off of our conversations from our last podcast. We were talking about the Bills' red zone woes, and I really wanted to study exactly what was leading to the Bills having that ineptitude when it came to finishing off their drives. They did such a great job in 2020, and they've been really struggling to finish it and take it to the house once they get inside the 20. Do you think, Jamie, this is the week that we see the Bills' red zone offense, especially knowing that this has been a question that Sean McDermott has received time and time again, that this is the week the Bills get their red zone offense on track?
So, according to your article, which I read and took notes on and framed and sent to my family, I discovered in reading that the issue the Bills are having is against the personnel that is being used by the defense, which is a three-man pass rush and then a zone on the back end. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. They are basically, yeah, getting a three-man front, getting after the quarterback and leaving eight guys back to cover those open passing lanes, taking away throws over the middle and making it harder for Josh Allen to run because there's more defenders clogging the space.
Right. And the other thing is teams are getting way too much pressure with only three defenders rushing the quarterback. It's it's ridiculous. You should have like a less than a 10% rate of them getting through, because two of the pass rushers are double teamed. So like, what the hell? Anyway, I think that the Bills are probably going to pay attention to their blocking against that type of defensive front. And if you give the Bills more time, at least Josh Allen, more time to throw the ball, that's going to allow his receivers to find the soft spots in the zones. And granted, the soft spots are much, much smaller in a compressed field. But that is ultimately the key to improving the red zone offense, I feel, is improving the blocking. Are we going to see that this weekend? Well, we know that because defenses are having success playing the Bills that way, other defenses are going to play exactly the same way. So the Bills need to figure out how to combat that. Blocking. That's what's going to do it.
And hopefully the Bills do pay attention to these comments in the red zone inefficiencies, because again, this is really the perfect get right game for Josh Allen, who, by the way, hopefully will pick up his fourth AFC Offensive Player of the Week honors in his career after the game against the Dolphins coming up on Sunday, as Buffalo looks to get back in the win column following a disappointing loss to the Tennessee Titans. They've had a lot of time to sit and stew about this one due to their bye week coming in week 7. Jamie, it's going to be Halloween on Sunday at the stadium. Guaranteed to be a lot of costumes. The Bills fans are hoping for a treat out of their team versus the trick of falling to the inept Miami Dolphins, who are 1-6 on the year. Give us your crystal ball prediction for Sunday.
Bills 34, Dolphins 10.
34-10. Do you see that being a result of Josh Allen having a bunch of touchdown passes or the ground game or both?
I think it's going to be a very balanced offense.
I love it. And holding the Dolphins to 10 points would be quite the feat for the Buffalo defense. Again, the Miami offense is not that talented. This could be a really great confidence building week for a Buffalo defense that could use some confidence after the Titans ran roughshod on them on Monday Night Football. I agree with you. The Bills are going to surpass 30 points. I also believe the Bills are going to hold the Dolphins under, I'm going to say, we'll say Miami gets, all right, I'll do 38-13. The Buffalo Bills are going to pull this one out. Josh will indeed win his fourth AFC Offensive Player of the Week honors. I'm feeling a defensive score, by the way, for this team. Remember the last time these two teams played at home when fans were allowed in the stands? Micah Hyde had that onside kick attempt that he returned to the house for a touchdown. I feel another defensive special team score coming up on Sunday.
And who's going to do it? I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm going to go Micah Hyde again. I don't know. He's been red hot. He's Can't been Johnny well. On the spot. And he seems to really elevate his game against the Dolphins. So let's go Micah Hyde.
I think that is a great selection. And hey, he's a great player. Get her done, Micah.
Get her done. The Buffalo Bills get that win to go back to 5-2 on the year. That's our prediction. We would love to hear from you fans how you think the Buffalo Bills are going to fare when they host the Miami Dolphins coming up here at the stadium. Give us your thoughts. Get involved on BuffaloRumblings.com or on Twitter. Jamie is at the Jamie D'Amico. I am at John Boccacino. We would love to hear from your fans on your thoughts about this game heading into week 8 of the NFL season. And Jamie, great thoughts as always, buddy.
Thank you, and thank you for your Believe leadership.
You know, somebody's got to lead this train wreck. I'm happy to be a part of this. And speaking of train wrecks, after the Bills take on the Dolphins, we'll be back next week getting you ready for the Buffalo Bills versus the human dumpster fire that is the Jacksonville Jaguars, coming up here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.